Hey, everybody. Welcome to Riders Meeting. We're coming to you from a few different locations. I'm down here in Florida for a Triumph launch that's happening tomorrow. We've got Bruce Murata out in California and Chad Reed coming from his home. I think you're out here in Florida as well now, too, right?
Yeah, I think you're in, what are you, Gainesville?
I'm in Gainesville, yep.
Yeah, so I'm about an hour and a half south of you.
It's nice weather out here, man. This is Florida in the winters is real nice.
That's why we moved back from North Carolina. It's hard. It's hard to give this up.
Yeah, I can tell. Well, listen, this show is brought to you by a few really good sponsors, and we're stoked. I want to just give them a quick plug. Rock and Turf. You can check them out on Instagram at Rock and Turf. If you need artificial grass, any kind of hardscape, they're your guys. Also by Maxxis Tires, Maxxis.com. If you need light truck tires, these guys make all kinds of stuff, whether you're romping in the mud or just want to look good cruising through your cul-de-sac. They've got you covered. And then also by Speed Straps. I want to just give a shout out to our new sponsor here, Speed Strap, making some really cool tie down products. These guys are stoked to be kind of jumping into the motorcycle world a little more after having a lot of success in side by sides. And so we welcome them. We're stoked to have them. So, man, what a freaking crazy weekend in Dallas, you guys. I went through like a full range of emotions between the Forkner's deal, where I just wanted to cry for the guy. I felt so bad. To the 450 main event, which kind of delivered all kinds of stuff. So I'm stoked to get into it. Let's start with the 250 main event. And, you know, I'm curious to get kind of both your ideas and thoughts on this. But, like, I think it's been so fun watching Austin Forkner sort of reinvent himself and go back to the drawing board. And he's got so many injuries. He's already been beat up so badly. And then to see it finally kind of clicking for him. He was perfect until that main event. He had won fastest qualifier every heat and the main at the opening round. Won his heat again this weekend, was into the lead, and did it in dominating fashion, coming through and passing Hayden and Anstey. He really kind of put a stamp on, like, okay, I'm the guy. And, man, I mean, take me through what you guys thought up to that point prior to him crashing. Is this a pretty common sentiment? I think a lot of people are feeling really bad for him today.
Yeah. I mean, for me, you know, it's like you said, Ping, it's just such a bummer. I mean, the kid had everything going for him. I mean, from, you know, being injured for so many times and so long and coming back, and just, like you said, it just seemed like a whole new Austin Forkner. And, man, I just can't imagine what that kid's going through. And Chad, I'm just curious to see what Chad has to say about this one.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Ping. It's, in this sport, we all go through, you know, hard times and times where it seems like you can't get a break. And, you know, Austin has definitely been on that train for way too long. And so I think that it was exciting to see him, you know, making progress to a better way forward, I guess. And it was a real shame. And I didn't personally read it, but it sounded like my wife, actually, Ellie, mentioned that maybe his dad put something out that he possibly had some his contact lens, which, you know, commenting on what I seen, he looked completely in control, like handled, you know, the heat race no problem, and then main event, great start, and then kind of just put his head down and was able to really, you know, ride smooth and somewhat manage. You know, I think that lappers and little mistakes here and there seem like they might have, you know, it was like a plus and minus with Hayden, but I think for the most part, the two laps before he crashed, you know, like basically in a row, something started to change. And I said to the kids and Ellie, I said, I don't like what he's doing there. You know, like he started to look a little bit flat-footed. And in the event that it's, you know, it's real of his contacts moving or something like that, it makes total sense to me, because it looked like he was coming up short and not really, you know, like sometimes it looks like from the outside, oh my God, he's starting to get a little tired or arm pump, but, you know, taking what his dad's put out there, it makes sense, because it just, he was flawless. And then he just started to make rare things like started to happen, and if that's true what happened, then I think that I personally seen it, and man, what a hit.
Oh my gosh.
You know, like the fact that the video panned to him standing was a great sign. You know, like, because obviously the TV and the riders going past, you could see in the background of the picture that he was still, you know, laying, you know, on his back and out of it. So, man, I was just happy to see that he was back on his feet.
Oh, go ahead, Bruce.
Oh, well, it's interesting that Chad was saying that too, because I noticed him changing as well, and he started kind of looking back a lot too, you know, and like he had the whole race together, and I feel like those last two laps, yeah, something was definitely off. So it's interesting that Chad pointed that out, and I noticed he kept kind of looking back a little bit too, you know, so.
Yeah, and you know, and like obviously you don't know what's happening, and you've seen these things happen a million times over, and you kind of think, oh, well, you know, Hayden's starting to put a little pressure on him. You know, he's maybe getting tight. He's getting arm palm. He's getting tired. Who knows? You just never know, you know, just. And so, I don't know. It was really interesting that his dad put that out there and you know, taking that for face value. I think that makes total sense to me, because it just, he looked so together, and then just really, you know, within a lap or two, it all started to come apart.
And I don't wear contact lenses, though I'm probably getting pretty close to needing them. But people have commented, oh, man, if one of my contacts comes out, I can barely walk. Like, your depth perception goes. I mean, it's a mess. So
beer goggles.
Yeah. It's like it's not great. So and I will say this, you know, a lot of people are going, why do we not have dirt over there? I can't believe he landed on that. And I'm thinking, I know it doesn't look good, but I think you're better off landing on concrete, because it's like crashing on the road. You're all of that speed you have dissipates as you slide.
It's strange. Or if it's
dirt, you stick, you know, and that quick stop is what breaks stuff.
I agree. And, you know, Ellie and I, typical, you know, 10 o'clock at night, laying in bed, debriefing about the race, like we live in it still. But it was the same thing that I said to her. I said, the thing that, you know, and again, you don't want to try to justify it or make it look better, but like I was like saying, is exactly what you just said, in the fact that he was going really fast, and there was momentum. And I think that he had not had that momentum and, you know, and the concrete, I actually think that, the concrete in some ways helps the sliding effect, rather than, you know, I don't know that I like helmet to concrete feeling, but but
dirt doesn't really flex either.
I do agree that there's no give in the dirt, let's be honest, you know, as much as we all think that dirt's gonna feel better, but I think that he's just, you know, lucky a lot of these kids wear chest protectors now. I just think of, you know, 2 weeks ago I was in where was I? Death Valley, doing an off-road airbag test with Alpine Star. They just launched a new airbag set, like the Dakar. It's mandatory in Dakar, and I just think that when that makes its way into Moto, I think that Austin can get up and possibly be okay from that, you know. So I love that our sport's starting to get a little safer in that aspect too.
100%, man. Imagine if he had flown straight and then landed into the face of another jump like that.
Oh, man.
I mean, honestly.
As horrible as it looks, and again, Ping, you and I have been around the block a time or two, and there's so many ways that you could say, oh, well, it doesn't look great on TV that he's landing off onto the concrete. But when you really break it down and you use our knowledge and years of it, I do think that it was one of the better scenarios as far as, like you said, like doing that and going into the next jump or three jumps down. I would rather the outcome of what happened, you know, last night opposed to that.
Yeah. Amen. Well, obviously all of us thinking about him, and we'll continue to pray for his full recovery. That was radical. Let's talk about the rest of the race. Hayden Deegan gets the win. I thought it was a good ride for him, and I think he was doing all the right things, trying to get up and apply some pressure, but he never looked out of control. I've been really impressed with Hayden's riding from the very beginning. Like, he's always been very poised, He charges hard, but never to a point where he's really out of control. And I think even more so this year. What'd you guys think?
Yeah, the thing that stood out for me with him last night was that's actually when I noticed him starting to reel in Faulkner before we even knew he had a problem. But his jumping through those whoops, he had such a good line jumping through those things. That's where I feel like he was catching Austin. But yeah, he's been very mature. I mean, for still, you know, how young and, you know, I don't know if he would be really a rookie anymore, but, you know, he looks very mature now.
Yeah. I mean, technically he's not a rookie this year, you know, with doing last year. But I agree that right from the get go, and I think that, you know, a lot of us, you guys, you know, Ping being based in California and stuff like that, it's he's a kid that's wired to race, and he's a scrapper. And so to see him be so poised and pretty patient, I think surprised me last year. And then obviously carried that through motocross and then did it very well last night. I mean, he ticked the box that he needed to tick. He needed to get a win, and he did. And I think that up until, you know, I think that the only thing that, you know, clouds such a great ride for him is the fact that we all feel bad for Austin. You know, I know no one wants to see a guy go down like that, but I think outside of Austin's crash, Hayden controlled, was never out of control. Like you said, like ate him up in the whoops. It seemed like Austin held his own, if not was stronger on other parts of the track, but Hayden rode really well. Really, really good.
Yeah.
And then I got to ask this, because there's a lot of chatter about it today, and Deegan's very controversial. Like, people either love him or they kind of hate him because of his fit, because of his dad, because of whatever. What did you guys think of his, what he kind of said on the podium? It came off a little insensitive, and I don't know that he knows how bad the crash was. He just saw that Austin had crashed, but like, he kind of made some comments like, you know, oh, I hope he's okay. Yeah, you know, that's what happens. You make mistakes or something when you know, like, lose focus. It made something where I was kind of like, a little cringy. Yeah. And then, you know, welcome to the danger zone, his new little slogan that his dad's probably been cooking up for months. What did you guys think of all that?
I mean, I think for me, there's a lot of emotions going on with it being his actual first Supercross win. And you know, it's you know, he didn't really know what truly happened. You know, so, I just, you know, it's easy on to be on this side of the fence on the sidelines and just look at those things, until you're in that actual limelight in that spot, getting your first win. There's a lot of excitement going on. You know, it's hard to say if, you know, I mean, Hayden's a good kid. I mean, he doesn't want to wish on, you know, anyone getting hurt. So, I just think it was just a lot of emotions in the moment. And it's easy for us to say, like I said, on the sidelines to, you know, say, hey, that was wrong what he said. That wasn't cool. You know, but I think at the end of the day, he's got feelings and he cares that Austin got hurt.
Yeah. I guess my two cents would be that, because I lived that life for so long, it's hard to put it into words because I don't know that the average person will really understand it, but from my position of living that life for so long, I think that we all live as a character, right? Like, I think that as who we are off the track or who we are amongst our friends, when you're in front of that camera, whatever, like, everybody's just like what you said, Ping, like, you either love him or hate him. And that's general for most everybody. If you're actually liked, it's actually not good. It means that you kind of suck and that you're just good and everybody just wants the good guy to win, but the good guy never wins. My thing is I think that there's a character. I think that everything he said is everything that he's ever heard as a child and, you know, through his whole life. And that's who he is. I don't believe as him, as Hayden, the kid that I hang out with and go and whatever, he's not that kid. You know, even his name Danger, like he's everything but Danger to me, in my opinion. You know, but he has this character, and I think that it's just funny. Like, for me, it's just it's not even him thinking about it. I mean, again, it's young. But you just like, you're this, yeah, I don't know. I can't put it into words, but I just
kind
look
of,
at it as
he was kind of playing the part a little bit, right?
I think so. He played the part that he knows to play. It's the go-to. It's pre-wired, and he's deep enough into this thing, he's going to stick with it.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, his riding's incredible. It's kind of blown this championship apart, really. I mean, I as good as McAdoo and Vial and Hammaker and Brown and these guys rode, I think Austin was the only guy that really had the speed to beat him regularly and make this a fight for the title. So time will tell. McAdoo got second, and he did ride great. He came through the pack, didn't get the start he needed to challenge for that win. Vial was third, and I thought that was a great ride for him. Hammaker fourth, again, fast all day, fastest qualifier, good ride in fourth, Pierce Brown in fifth. Anything about those guys that you guys want to mention here? I want to try to keep it moving and get to this 450 main, but anything about that kind of stands out for you guys?
I would just say that I think McAdoo rode a clean race for, you know, I think that Cameron can have a little bit of Austin in him. You know, he's pretty, when he's good. And when he's off, it's, you know, he's typically missing races. And so I think it was a pretty controlled fight to the front for Cameron. You know, I think that from me, like, I think there had to have been some emotions tied to that event. I mean, a lot of the pre stuff, I mean, with the military stuff with his sister, I thought that was all really cool. And at some point, as an athlete, you know that stuff plays. Sometimes it plays on the big screen and stuff like that. And so I think he managed the weekend pretty well.
Yeah, and I think Seth Hammaker in fourth was a good ride. He needed something just solid to build from. Same with Pierce Brown. Those guys rode really well at the opener. Brown did, anyway. Just didn't show on paper. Again, bad start last night, but a good ride. Anstey sixth, Hymus, Shock, Ferez, Bennick 10th. And I want to make a quick mention to Romano. Great ride in his heat. He actually put some laps in up front. He was, I think, sitting about 8th and had a tip over at the end that cost him. I think he was 12th in the results, but a much better ride than what the results show. And I'm stoked for him to kind of build from that, because I think it was a good building night for him.
Did he actually crash? Like, because he kind of whole shotted to. Did he not whole shot to 9th?
Yeah, he
like,
was
kind of like
he,
ish. Like it was like it yeah. seemed like he dropped back. And I don't know if he crashed or what, but he definitely, you know, went from a whole shot back to 9th. And that was a little surprising to me.
Well, he ran 3rd for a little bit and then like kind of slowly just fell his way back to 8th and was going to finish 8th if he had stayed on 2 wheels and just had a little tip over then. A few more spots. I want to give a shout out also to Ferry and Swole. Ferry had an AC separation of his shoulder during the week, which is not super big deal. Probably cost him a couple of weeks. And Swole, I haven't heard. I don't know if you guys heard anything, but they hauled him off. Didn't look great.
Yeah,
I don't know. He didn't look good at all. Kind of like, and did he crash on the start? It was hard to say because, like, where he was laying, like where they were attending to him, was before that jump. It wasn't like he crashed on the jump that Austin crashed on. It was like he was prior to the takeoff part of it. So I didn't know if he just crashed on the start and never actually did a lap.
A lot of those guys, I don't know if it was the start of the first lap, but when they come out of that sand, it got really slick as that sand drug out onto the track. I was wondering if maybe some of that, he just got loose and then got high-sided. I don't know. I'm totally speculating.
I agree 100% what I thought too.
Yeah, weird spot. All right, let's talk about this 450 race here. This is your Rock and Turf 450 main event. Man, there was a lot to unpack here. I thought Jet was gone. He did what he's done already a few times this season, and I've been kind of waiting for him to get this momentum going and just sort of become unstoppable. And it's like he's his own worst enemy so far. He keeps having these little tip overs that cost him. And even after the crash, he damn near won again, if not for Vince Freese, who managed to take 2 people out in the main event, but still get 11th. I think he was like 11th overall. And so everyone's mad. Like I was even mad at Freese at the end, like, dude, get out of the way. Like you just affected the outcome, the win. but I thought he was a lapper. He was actually an 11th, you know, like there's a lot of guys that will never get 11. So
yeah,
that's the one little perspective change I want people to have is as they hate on Vince Freese this week, which they're going to, he was in 11th. Like I get it. Mind the blue flags, but they came up on him so fast. I don't think he had time to get out of the way. I'm just going to throw that out there about Vince. But when he went down, there's a few things I want to talk about. Jets mistakes, Webb being just sneaky. Like this guy just hangs around and then like you don't even realize it. And he's out front or he's up your ass about to pass you. He's so good and it's so fun to watch. And I think he is like, he's starting to build some really good momentum. And then Eli Tomac. Reedy, you've probably seen this firsthand when he gets in this mode where he's just unstoppable. That was an incredible ride to watch. So take me just through those three guys and what your take on each of their nights was.
Mine, I guess my opinion would be that I think that Jets losing these races, I don't think he's getting beat. You know, that's the way I look at it. I think he's throwing these things away more than, you know, like I haven't seen somebody straight up have him handled on skills and speed. But then I've raced a lot of guys like that. And when you beat them, it takes being in a right place at the right time and pushing them just enough for them to make those mistakes. So that's how I look at it from that. I think that Coop, there's, you know, like I guess I relate to San Diego, like put your place. It always seemed like when you needed a good start, you needed a good finish. Like it always, there was just always something special about San Diego for me. And it seems like Arlington is that way for him. He was immediately right there on the start, which he hasn't been the last few weeks. I think that Coop's been a podium guy the last couple of weeks, but just didn't really put himself in good places in the main. Eli, we watched, obviously, the cameras were a lot on Eli. So we got to watch Eli. And man, so fun to watch Eli in beast mode. And it's good to see him kind of have it and dig and just kind of get that feeling back as we go into his race, which is kind of like what I talked about with the Arlington side of it, with Webb and San Diego with myself. But like Daytona and Eli is pretty damn solid. So I think that Eli was probably the guy that could challenge speed wise. I think that I saw him doing things, you know, different, but then he was in a very different, you know, place. He had crashed, he had nothing to lose. He was charging, Jet was controlling from the front. And so you got to take that into consideration as well. So I want Jet and Eli and all these guys just to be on their at their best, you know. And yeah. I think that it was a fun race to watch. I think, you know, it was a bummer to see, you know, Jet throw it away like that, but the cameras were mostly on Eli and it was really fun to watch, especially when you got kids at home that you're trying to learn. And it's nice that you can watch a guy that's thrown down and doing most everything right. It's good to watch.
I also want to say this about him. I got goosebumps from his podium interview where he's like, you know, I'm tired of being called the old man and I'm warming up and I'm coming. Like, I was like, oh no, he's like, he is, you can just tell he's building and he feels it and he knows it. And that's probably the quickest he's been in a race all year.
I would agree. It's the most, he looked comfortable. He looked, it was the most together that we've seen Eli, I think, throughout the year. You know, he had that one race, where was it? San Diego. I think he won a main event in a Triple Crown or whatever it was.
Anaheim too. Yeah.
Was it Anaheim too? But yeah, for me, like you don't give a guy with that many wins and a couple of titles that kind of like you, like, again, Jet is a rookie and you have to remember that, but it's crazy because he was so perfect last year, literally perfect. And everything he was good at last year seems like some of the things he's, and I said this in the episode, you know, a couple of weeks ago or a month ago, I want to word it right because people will pick it apart. I like and love the fact that Supercross, 450 Supercross is so gnarly that even somebody that was perfect last year still makes mistakes, you know? Like, it is such a gnarly championship and such a gnarly bike to ride. And I guess it's just the elite level. And it's, again, not good that he's making mistakes, but good that it still requires you to be just completely on your toes, you know?
Absolutely. Bruce, what do you think?
Yeah, so I really like what Chad said about Jet, where, and I'm going to agree with him on that, where he's not really getting beat. He's losing the races himself from just these mistakes that he's making. I really like that. And that's a very, that's a good way to look at it, because I mean, he is the fastest guy out there. He is. And he's just making these mistakes that are unfortunately costing him these wins. And I think with Cooper, I think it's really dangerous what's happening right now, because as you guys know, he starts winning like this. The mental game for a lot of these other riders. I mean, Coop's just he's dangerous when he gets on a when he starts winning races like this. And with Tomac, yeah, I mean, that's the most comfortable I've seen him all season. I mean, just the way even he was jumping in his corners, his exit speed. I mean, he just looks so comfortable last night, and now coming into one of his favorite races, Daytona, it's going to get really interesting.
I agree. I think a great night, we need to mention Hunter Lawrence in fifth. He's had two top fives now, and for a rookie season, he had a rough few first rounds, but he's putting it together and doing really well. So shout out to Hunter, doing great. Sixth place was Chase Sexton. And I wonder if, I know they're not in, it's not panic time yet for those guys, but I'd be curious to get his thoughts. And maybe we can try to reach out to him this week, but just see where his head's at with things, because is the hand still bugging him? He just never was quite in the fight last night, but still managed to, you know, a sixth isn't terrible. Cooper was seventh, Roczen eighth, Malcolm ninth, and Anderson 10th. Will's falling off a little bit for Jason Anderson. He's going to start dropping out of the points quickly if he can't get some wins. Max's moment of the night, for me, it was Jet's mistakes. The one in the rhythm lane, which cost him the win effectively, and then even in the whoops where he crashed the second time, you know, people were like, well, why did he run up the inside like that, knowing there was a guy there? I honestly think he, you know, when you come into the whoops, and really let me know what you think on this, but Freezy was so far in front of him. I just don't think he thought he was going to close that quickly. I thought he thought Vince would be maybe through the turn before he had to deal with him, and they were just going so much quicker. They got to him where he couldn't really grab a bunch of brakes, and that cost him.
Yeah, braking in the whoops is not an easy thing, especially like, you know, like he was obviously amped up last lap going for the win. So he was full sends. You know, again, I agree that, you know, ultimately, if he's on the street, he's the one that gets the ticket, right? Because he ran into the back of Vince. So I think that ultimately he's in the wrong. But I agree that you can't slow down, and especially those whoops are pretty gnarly. And everybody was at that point jumping them, and I think he had also been jumping them, and so he's full commitment around the outside, commit to the inside, skimming them. Once you get going, if you let off or start to try to slow down, thing can go sideways and it could be a much bigger crash. So I also understand that he didn't have a whole lot of options.
Yeah, you're right.
At his disposable either.
he was full send. That is the best way to describe it. And in that position, I mean, obviously in hindsight now, he could have settled in and just taken a second. Would that have been better than ending up fourth with another fall? Like, what do you think that was, like another mistake that he'll kick himself for? He should have just settled in.
I think that, yeah, big picture, you know, everyone around him would probably say that, but I think a 20-year-old rookie, you're supposed to be wired to go for it, you know? Yeah. So I love the mentality. I embrace that. I believe that that's better. You know, I think that Jet walks away from Arlington with being mad at himself for making a mistake. he's not like, oh man, I got to go back to the drawing board, or oh, I got to go and I got to work on my speed here and there. And like, I think he's got those guys' number on that side of it. I think it just, he just needs to clean up his game, nothing else. So I don't think that he loses confidence from that weekend. I think it's just more he's frustrated at his own mistakes.
Yeah, I agree with you. Bruce, you got anything here to close it out?
Just one thing that kind of caught my attention for the night. I know he didn't have the best main event, but Malcolm Stewart looked really good. His heat race, he was like, he caught Jet. And I mean, I was just curious. I mean, it's just unfortunate he, you know, he went down with rocks in there. But for me, I thought he looked good, really good.
Yeah, I think that's the best we've seen him all year, and it's been a bummer. Man, he's just been unlucky or wrong place, wrong time, one of those seasons. So I feel like you're right. Great heat race, solid top 10. Like, maybe this is a turning point for him too.
Right. But and then the other thing, these points, let me tell you, the 250 East points. I mean, if you guys look how close everything, I mean, there's Bennett and Shock are both tied. You've got Hymus, Ferris, and tied. I mean, it's so close. It's insane. I mean, and it's crazy how Anstey, he finishes sixth, and now he's the points leader. Brown second, Bennett third. It's just, it's crazy, but it makes it fun. So.
Oh no, it's wild. And the 450 points again are super close. Roczen's kind of fallen out. Anderson's on his way of falling out, but Tomac stepped himself back up. So did Webb. So now that top five is still just so close. I don't know, Reedy, maybe you can think back. I don't remember a season where this deep into it, we're still so damn close in points where any one of these guys, if they grab the right gear and just execute the second half of the season, they could win it.
Yeah, I think it just takes one guy to be there every weekend, you know, win seconds, thirds, just be that podium guy. And if the trend is continuing what we see, and whoever that podium guy is going to walk away with this thing, because I've just never seen top guys be so inconsistent, you know, like everybody's won a race and backed it up with a ninth or something, you know.
Yeah, right.
I sure wish I lived in an era of guys winning and backing it up with an eighth or a ninth. Stu and Ricky, I could really done with some of those years, but even Villopoto and Dunge, those guys were just so solid and there every time. And so, my opinion is you're just seeing a lot of guys, you know, get traction, ride to their potential, and then back it up with, you know, like Roczen this weekend, just, you know, that fall, he kind of was in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, and so, yeah, just, I don't know. And even just Jet, you know, Jet's had a few bad places, but I think that he's been the most consistent guy in why he's winning championships. So if he starts to get smart like he did last year and starts to take some seconds and thirds, and then obviously go on a tear with wins, I think that this thing will start to stretch out.
Yeah, I think that's probably the most likely scenario, though. Like you said, he's fighting that decision to either go, okay, I need to just settle for a second or a third, or that mindset of, I'm here to win. That's what I'm paid for, and I'm going to continue to push to that, you know? So it'll just be interesting to see what happens. All right, we're going to run. Chad, thanks so much for taking the time, man. We really appreciate your insight. I just love hearing your thoughts, because it's from a guy who's been in each one of these guys' shoes at some point. So really appreciate it, man. I want to thank Rock and Turf, Maxis, and Speed Straps for supporting this show. We have a lot of fun bringing it to you and breaking it down. So for Bruce and myself and the fabulous Mr. Chad Reed, thank you, boys. We'll see you next time.